This is Artificially Intelligent News for Thursday, August 27, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with artificial intelligence and fact-checked against authoritative reporting available early this Thursday morning. We begin in South Carolina, where appointed Senator Darline Graham has won the Republican nomination for the Senate seat previously held by her late brother, Lindsey Graham. Graham defeated Representative Ralph Norman in Tuesday's special primary runoff and will face Democratic nominee Annie Andrews in November. The contest was unusual from the start. Lindsey Graham's death in July triggered a compressed special election calendar. Governor Henry McMaster appointed Darline Graham to finish the current term, and she entered the race as a first-time candidate with the endorsement and active campaigning support of President Trump. Norman, a five-term congressman, argued that his Washington experience made him the stronger choice. The result is politically meaningful because the primary victory puts Graham on the ballot for a full six-year term. South Carolina has not elected a Democrat to the Senate in decades, though the general election remains to be decided by voters. For the White House, it is also a visible test of the president's influence in a Republican primary. Graham thanked Trump after her victory and has emphasized support for his policy agenda. There is a consequential new turn in the legal fight over mail voting before the midterms. 25 Democratic-led states have sued the U.S. Postal Service over a newly issued federal rule connected to President Trump's executive order seeking to limit mail voting. The Supreme Court ruled 2 days ago that an earlier challenge was premature. The justices did not decide whether the order itself is lawful. The administration has since issued a Postal Service rule requiring states that want mail ballots delivered to obtain federal approval for envelope designs and provide the Postal Service with lists of voters eligible to receive ballots. The states argue that the Postal Service has no authority to decide who can vote by mail and that election offices are already well into preparations. The administration's position is that it can pursue ballot security priorities under existing federal law. The new lawsuit puts the issue back before lower courts, with deadlines for military, overseas, and other mail voters approaching. What matters now is that the Supreme Court's procedural ruling did not settle the underlying legal question. On immigration, the Trump administration is preparing a broad revocation of business and tourist visas held by people who have applied for asylum in the United States. Associated Press reporting based on State Department documents and U.S. officials says the action could cover as many as 200,000 B-1 and B-2 visas issued between 2016 and 2026. The administration is also pausing immigrant visa applications while it briefs consular officials on a policy intended to screen out applicants considered likely to become public charges. Deputy Secretary of State Christopher Landau said asylum is not supposed to be a loophole around immigration law. Immigration specialists note an important distinction. For a person already in the United States with a pending asylum claim, revoking the underlying visitor visa generally would not itself decide the asylum case or necessarily require immediate departure. Those cases can take years, but the planned step would be a powerful signal to prospective travelers and is likely to face court challenges. As of this morning, it is a planned policy, not yet a completed mass revocation. Meta has agreed to pay up to $17.1 billion and make changes to Facebook and Instagram in a major settlement over allegations involving youth social media addiction. The agreement resolves claims brought by states that accuse the company of deceptive and harmful platform design for younger users. The announced reforms include hard daily time limits for children, pauses while children use Facebook and Instagram, and an end to push notifications during weekday school hours. Meta says providing teens with a safe and productive experience is an imperative and says it worked with state attorneys general to establish a new industry standard. The settlement is significant both for its size and for the design changes it calls for. It does not settle the broader debate over technology, parenting, and online speech. But it places a major financial and operational marker on how states are approaching social platforms built around engagement. Implementation, enforcement, and the precise use of settlement money will be the next questions for families, regulators, and investors. There is also a medical development story worth knowing. The Food and Drug Administration has cleared Roche's Elecsys p-tau217 blood test to help clinicians assess amyloid pathology associated with Alzheimer's disease in people age 55 and older who show signs or symptoms of cognitive decline. The test is designed to support both ruling in and ruling out the likelihood of amyloid pathology using a single biomarker and the same clinical cutoffs in primary and specialty care. Roche says it can run on more than 4,500 existing COBAS laboratory instruments in the United States. The Alzheimer's Association says this is the fourth FDA-cleared blood-based biomarker test for Alzheimer's and the second cleared in the past week. The key caution is that this is not a standalone diagnosis and is not intended to predict whether someone without symptoms will develop dementia. Results must be interpreted with clinical information and other diagnostic findings. Even so, a less invasive and more widely available blood test could help doctors decide who needs additional specialist evaluation, imaging, or spinal fluid testing. The Secret Service has placed three officials on administrative leave while its Professional Responsibility Office investigates potential misconduct. The agency says the three were serving in non-law enforcement roles and has not publicly described the conduct under review. Administrative leave is not a finding of wrongdoing. It is a temporary personnel action while an internal investigation proceeds. The development nevertheless comes while the Secret Service remains under intense scrutiny following security incidents and threats involving the president and other protectees. The agency has given no timetable for the review, so there is no basis this morning to draw conclusions about the individuals or the outcome. And in Massachusetts, closing arguments are scheduled today in the murder trial of Lindsay Clancy. Clancy is charged in the deaths of her three children at the family's Duxbury home in 2023. She has pleaded not guilty by reason of lack of criminal responsibility. The central issue for jurors will be her mental state at the time. Her defense says she was experiencing postpartum psychosis. Prosecutors argue that she was criminally responsible. Testimony ended Wednesday after more than 5 weeks, with psychologists and psychiatrists offering sharply different conclusions. After closing arguments and jury instructions, deliberations are expected to begin. Because this is an active criminal case, the appropriate focus is on the evidence tested in court and the jury's eventual verdict, not speculation. Overseas, the U.S. conflict with Iran has reached the six-month mark with no clear political off-ramp, and with the Strait of Hormuz now at the center of the dispute. When the war began in late February, the administration forecast a much shorter campaign and focused on degrading Iran's military capabilities and nuclear program. Today, restoring dependable movement through the strait has become one of the principal goals. The waterway once carried roughly one-fifth of the world's oil. It has been largely closed or severely disrupted during the war, raising fuel and fertilizer costs and exposing the United States and its partners to a persistent economic risk. Iran and Oman have discussed a possible arrangement for managing commercial traffic, but Iranian officials have said military vessels would be excluded under a final deal. The administration says Iran's military capacity has been heavily damaged, but officials have not publicly demonstrated a durable settlement. Iran retains the ability to threaten shipping, and the diplomatic arrangements around Oman remain unsettled. That is why this story matters well beyond the region. The condition of one narrow waterway can affect oil, shipping, food, and inflation around the world. A major humanitarian disaster is unfolding on the Nepal-China border after a glacial collapse triggered catastrophic flooding and mudslides. Nepal's National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Authority says at least 165 people have been killed and 826 are missing in Nepal. In Tibet, authorities reported at least 3 deaths and 558 people missing. Rescuers are working in hard-hit areas, including Nuwakot and Rasuwa, where roads, homes, communications, and hydropower facilities have been damaged. Nepal's army has deployed helicopters and says it has rescued more than 100 people, including foreign nationals airlifted to Kathmandu. Hundreds of visitors had been traveling in the region, including pilgrims headed toward Mount Kailash. The numbers are preliminary and could change as rescue teams reach isolated valleys. The event also underscores a wider vulnerability in the Himalayas, where unstable ice, steep terrain, heavy rain, and warming conditions can turn a sudden release of water into a disaster far downstream. The immediate priority is search and rescue, medical care, shelter, and restoring access to communities that remain cut off. Now to the economy and markets. These are final closing figures from Wednesday's completed U.S. trading session, not futures or intraday prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 113.52 points, or 0.2%, to close at 53,463.88. The S&P 500 slipped 1.58, less than 0.1%, to 7,675.70. The Nasdaq Composite lost 21.10 points, also about 0.1%, closing at 26,130.20. Stocks were little changed overall after an inflation update came in slightly worse than economists expected and Treasury yields moved higher. The modest moves came before Nvidia reported earnings after the closing bell. Nvidia then delivered another extraordinary quarter. The company reported fiscal second quarter revenue of $96.2 billion, up 106% from a year earlier and 18% from the prior quarter. Data center revenue was $89 billion, up 117% from a year ago. Nvidia reported earnings per diluted share of $2.46 under generally accepted accounting principles, or $2.22 on an adjusted basis. For the current quarter, Nvidia forecast revenue of $108 billion, plus or minus 2%. Its forecast assumes no data center compute revenue from China. The company says its Vera Rubin platform is now in full production, with systems running at partners including Google Cloud, Microsoft Azure, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, CoreWeave, and Nebius. The report is important because Nvidia has become a bellwether for the broader artificial intelligence build-out. Its figures point to continuing demand for advanced computing, but they also intensify the questions investors will keep asking: whether customers can turn enormous infrastructure spending into durable profits, how much geopolitical restrictions will matter, and whether expectations for the sector have become too high. The market reaction after this morning's opening will be separate from Wednesday's final closes. In sports, NFL owners unanimously approved the sale of the Seattle Seahawks to the Khosla family, led by Vinod and Niru Khosla. The formal agreement with the Paul G. Allen estate carries a reported league record price of $9.612 billion. The Seahawks had been owned by the Allen family since Paul Allen bought the franchise in 1997. Jody Allen took control after her brother's death in 2018. The team is coming off its second Super Bowl title, a 29-13 win over New England in February. Vinod Khosla said the new owners intend to work with the organization and the Seattle community to preserve the club's identity. The Seahawks' lease at Lumen Field runs through 2032 and includes three 10-year options. The sale is a reminder of how dramatically NFL franchise values have risen. The previous record sale was the Washington Commanders transaction in 2023, valued at $6.05 billion. College sports is facing another fast-moving eligibility dispute days before the football season begins. The Southeastern Conference has adopted a rule barring athletes who have been drafted by NFL, NBA, or WNBA teams, or listed on rosters in those leagues, from returning to play in the conference. The Big Ten earlier adopted a similar restriction for football, and the Big 12 has since joined the effort against former NFL players returning to college. The rules respond to lawsuits and court decisions involving athletes seeking additional eligibility after time in professional football. In June, the NCAA adopted a rule generally allowing players 5 years to complete 5 seasons of eligibility, but did not extend that benefit to all members of the high school class of 2022. The conferences are trying to draw a line that had once seemed obvious. A player who turns professional normally cannot return to college competition, but litigation over eligibility has made that line much less certain. The new rules themselves could be challenged, so schools, athletes, and fans should expect more legal developments rather than a quick universal resolution. A quick results roundup from Wednesday in baseball: Ha-Seong Kim's walk-off single gave the Atlanta Braves a 6-5 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Philadelphia Phillies shut out the Seattle Mariners 6-0. In League's Cup quarterfinals, Toluca beat Austin FC 2-0, and Club America eliminated the Columbus Crew by the same 2-0 score. The results mean the tournament semifinals will feature four Liga MX clubs. And at the U.S. Open, Karolina Muchova and Jakub Mensik won the mixed doubles title over Belinda Bencic and Flavio Cobolli 6-3, 1-6, and 10-6 in the match tiebreak. Bencic and Cobolli had eliminated Serena Williams and Carlos Alcaraz earlier in the event. We close with the death of Dolly Parton, the country music icon, songwriter, actor, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. Parton died Tuesday in Nashville at age 80. Her publicist said she died peacefully. A cause of death was not initially disclosed, while later statements from her representatives described a brief battle with cancer. Parton's career reached far beyond country music. Her songs included Jolene, Coat of Many Colors, and I Will Always Love You. She sold more than 100 million records worldwide, acted in films including 9 to 5, built Dollywood into a major destination near her East Tennessee home, and remained one of the country's most recognizable performers across several generations. Her philanthropy is a central part of the story. Through the Imagination Library, created in honor of her father's difficulties with reading, she sent free books to children and families. Dollywood says the park will remain open, consistent with what it described as Parton's wish that it continue as a place of joy, hope, and togetherness. The tributes reflect why her loss is felt so broadly. Parton's art was admired across musical styles, but her public legacy also included generosity, humor, business judgment, and a sustained commitment to literacy in her home region. She was a singular cultural figure whose work will remain familiar to people who may never have seen her perform live. That is the briefing for this Thursday, a South Carolina primary with national implications, new fights over voting and immigration, a major youth safety settlement, grave crises in the Strait of Hormuz in Nepal, and a remarkable moment for NVIDIA and for Dolly Parton's legacy. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening and take care. Check out the article about AIN on AIbusiness.vc. Find the link in today's episode description.